You are about to experience the Corpse Cast. We would advise any listener who may be ill, pregnant, or of weak constitution to reconsider listening to the show for fear of an onset of health issues related to encountering bouts of pure shock or fright. For those who wish to continue, just remember, to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a podcast, only a podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 350 of the Corpse Cast. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
Steven, how are you doing today?
I'm farty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
So you
well,
got to, folks.
Well,
you gotta,
I did turn on the fan in the studio.
I appreciate
so
that.
Like, I think I appreciate it more than anybody.
I'm gassy. I'm feeling a bit gassy.
Are you sick or is there something we can do for you?
No, I don't. Well, I mean.
Is this just something that we should talk about for
a
minute?
I don't even know, man. I mean, I just been like extra lately. It's just. I don't
dietary
know.
Dietary changes?
Maybe. No.
Dude, you know what I think it is, actually?
The weather.
No.
No, what?
I think somebody put a voodoo curse on you.
No, it's possible.
And in fact, that is a perfect segue. I don't know. We could talk about your fart some more. We could spend the first 10, 15 minutes talking about that if you would like.
I just
like.
Want to apologize to the folks at home.
So if anything leaks onto
that's right. Oof. Yeah. And I apologize to you.
Yeah.
That
oh,
if,
dude, you're no.
If you're start,
I will beat
if I
you.
If I look over there and see you're
pass out.
Fighting for air, you know, then I you know.
But actually, yeah, we are going to be talking about voodoo, and there's a ton of voodoo movies out there, right? I mean, a lot of which I haven't heard of, and so I kind of as I was kind of choosing the movies for it, I kind of picked two that weren't going to be the same, and we've already done. Maybe my favorite and maybe the best, arguably the best voodoo movie already on the show, which is The Serpent and the Rainbow, right? But I think we chose a couple of good ones. Like I said, very different. We're starting with The Skeleton Key from 2005. And then we got the blaxploitation / voodoo movie Sugar Hill from 1974. But before we get into that, I got some stuff to talk about.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Oh, boy, am I ever.
Oh, dear. I don't know how to take that because it's like, should I take that personally?
No.
Okay, so I just want to make sure everybody's on the lookout for My Cadaver's Horror Pub Trivia Season 2. I am basically done with everything except for the filming part, and that's the easiest part. So hopefully it'll be out by May, so check corpsecollective.com and other places like that, the Facebook page, and because that should be out. And once that's out, I'm going to start working again on apps as to where to find all of the good and wonderful shows that are on OSI 74, among others. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. And also, I just discovered have you ever heard of something called Rumble? It's like a YouTube, but
is that
not.
A dating app?
No, I don't know.
No, okay.
I think, I don't know. But anyways, it's kind of like a YouTube, except for they don't check for copyright issues or nudity.
Ooh,
or
yeah.
Stuff like that. So basically what I've done is for the website, I just put up a movie called, when I used to, like 10 years ago or something, I've talked about this a million times. We used to do Zombie TV, you know, which was an internet TV station. And the guys who ran it were like really professional guys, and they would film like horror host intros and stuff like that. Well, they wanted to do kind of a thing where it was like linear television. Is that a word? I don't know. Where it's like, okay, so you know, you turn it on and it's just kind of streaming, right?
Yeah.
And so every night, you know, we'd have your basically your just lineup, and one of the ones on Tuesday night was Titty Tuesday. So I put up a movie that'll be up there when you get this podcast on corpsecollective.com that is The Velvet Vampire from 1971, hosted by one of the people that we used to work with in Ms. Voltage. And it's kind of a cool thing, you know. It's like, it's cool. The movie's cool, stuff like that. But I have a lot of that old stuff. And so I'm thinking, oh, shoot, well, I got it. And it's just sitting around. So I might as well just put it up on the website and stuff like that. So that's where Rumble comes in, because I don't have to worry about, like, I put on some other videos. Like, I did a thing about Nazi exploitation movies, which YouTube took that down because of hate speech at first. I'm like, and I went back. I'm like, bros, this is about the movies. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, F you. It has boobies in it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you got me there. Anyway. So yeah, that's that. So just keep a lookout for that, and I'll be putting stuff up there, you know, when it comes. Let's see. I resubscribed to Shudder.
Oh,
so back to that again.
Oh, nice.
Because Joe Bob's back on.
Oh, okay.
You know, and he's gonna make it last. It's every other Friday, and they're just doing one movie.
So you stopped. Well,
that's
subscribing.
That's
to
the only.
Shutter?
That's the only thing I need. I mean, I don't. I just want to see like Joe Bob. Everything oh, else, okay. You know, all the all the movies. I mean, they're great, but you can find those elsewhere.
Right.
But no. So yeah. But they tricked us because now you have to keep it subscribed the whole time, the whole summer, right? And it is cool. And to be honest with you, they went to a one movie a night as opposed to like a double feature, which I kind of like because it starts at 7 here. Can you imagine being on the East Coast having a double feature start at 9? Like in the summer, we have the drive-in right here, and that's kind of what happens there.
Right.
I remember, let's see, was it last year? But we went to see a double feature. The first movie was like the Minions movie or something like that, right? And the second one was, I mean, it wasn't like a super hard rated R, but it was like the one I kind of wanted to see. And I remember I was asleep before the Minions was over, and I did not even stay up at all for the next movie. But it's late. But even here, it's like, I mean, it gets 10 o'clock when the second movie starts and stuff like that, and I'm just like, bro, I cannot do it. I am getting old.
Right, right.
So anyways, I just wanted to basically let everyone know that I'm pretty pumped that Joe Bob's back, and everything's going to go good with him with that. So don't complain, please, because we want to do whatever we can to keep him on the television because I love him. And anyways, that's all I got. I didn't even really have that last part. I just kind of talked about, I just talked about that because it just popped in my mind. Like I just wanted to talk about putting up Velvet Vampire and some of those other things will be forthcoming. And also, you know, the My Cadaver's Horror Pub trivia. It's hard. It's a lot of work, like not like work, but it can get annoying and tedious to put all this stuff together. But hopefully it's fun. So you better watch it, or else you'll hurt my feelings really bad. I don't know, man. What you think?
Well, I want to tell you, I found a couple of shorts that I'm really, really fond of on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, cool.
One's called Mama Agnes. It's only like 2.5 minutes long.
Bro, is this a Bone Saw candidate?
It's possible. I think so.
Well, I got one for this episode, but when you find stuff like that, let's talk about the Bone Saw.
I don't know too much about it, like who put it out or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like the same folks put out another one called Auntie Maybell.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so check those out on YouTube.
So yeah, man, if you come next time or whenever, if you want to, just do a little bit of research and so get some all URLs right. And we can share those and give it the Bone Saw Award. So
but
it's funny because I was just thinking to myself, man, there's a ton of horror, like independent horror creators, stuff like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's very difficult to find the time to get to know all of them and, you know, just kind of, you know, become familiar enough with them to give them an actual award. Oh, wait. Hold on.
Okay.
Wait.
Are you going to fart?
No, I'm going to. No. We got to do in the Bone Saw. We got to do the Bone Saw bumper. So hold on. I forgot.
Bone Saw.
Anyway, sorry, that was awkward, but I want to make sure that you know what we're talking about. But so basically what I decided to do is just kind of, you know, there's certain ones that I know, like, and I've already kind of done them on. I have one more for today, but it's like, we're going to have to like really, we're going to have to maybe have some people call in, you know, or record something about the Bone Saw, you know, and so you can submit those or you can.
I love it when people call in. Nobody calls in.
Well, nobody. Well, I don't really push it anymore. It's like
even when we were pushing it, we.
Well, yeah. So maybe that's why I didn't push it, because no one's calling in.
I stay up late at night wanting people to call in.
You know what? If you have very low expectations, you'll never be disappointed, Stephen.
How true that is. How true that is.
But okay, so for this episode, I'm actually going to mention a couple of YouTube and like Instagram creators that it's called the Grim Life Collection, right?
No,
their Instagram is Grim Life Collective. Oh, Collective, my bad. They took the Corpse Collective. And they're like, oh, that's a cool idea. No, they didn't. I have no idea. But no, they're a husband and wife team. They make videos about like a ton of really cool stuff. Like they'll go to, like I watched one today where they went to Vegas and they did a like a walkthrough of like the escape room that was it themed, you know, and a bunch of other stuff.
No, hold on. The old it from the 90s, you know, from early 90s.
It kind of
the just, new it.
Well, kind of just it both. All of it, you know, kind of thing too. So, okay. But I mean, it's all in, it's in Vegas. You can look that up right now. So,
I mean, because I don't know how the folks at home feel, but Tim Curry, that's the.
You know what? Okay, so we can talk about Tim Curry versus Skarsgård, right?
Right.
And Tim Curry was amazing. He was creepy, but man, it's hard for me to watch like a TV movie starring John Ritter and the guy with the mole on his face and the dad from Mr. Boogity and all those people. It's like, oh man.
But the kids were great.
No, the kids were kids,
and you can't talk on John Ritter, rest his soul.
No, no, I have nothing to do with the John boy with the thing on his face and all these people. I have nothing against them, but it's definitely a TV movie. You know,
it is.
And it's like, so, I mean, and I'm not saying that those guys suck at all, because Three's Company, are you serious? I loved that show.
Suzanne Somers.
Who replaced her too?
It's Chrissy Snow. Was it?
I can't remember. Oh, shoot. See her. She was in The Devil's Rejects, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I can't remember her name though. Anyway, so they do that. They go to the graves, the Black Sabbath, Peter Steele, the Ramones,
All right.
They do it to the Black Sabbath album cover location. They go to like movie filming locations and kind of go over that stuff. But it's really cool stuff.
That's awesome.
And it's interesting. And I like that they do like a lot of different types of things. And, you know, they're fun. And it's just like I think it's like this husband. See if this sounds familiar. Okay. This husband really digs this stuff, right? And he drags his wife along to deal with him. I mean, that there's something to be said about dudes who love their wives who make them do horror trivia shows. I mean, YouTube stuff. Anyways, no. So they get the bone saw. They get the bone saw for this episode. And I want to mention one thing. Outside of a couple of people like Vaughn, for instance, or Mr. Lobo, or a couple of the people, like nobody knows. Like, I don't say, hey, by the way, you earned the bone saw award on the Corpse Collect or the Corpse Cast today. You know, they've never heard of me, you know, and it's right. Just like, so I don't know that.
They may have.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But it's like, but what I'm saying is like, I don't know them. And so I'm not like,
right.
You know, this isn't, it's just things that I like. I'm not like necessarily their friends or anything like that. It's just stuff that I enjoy. And so, you know, maybe one day they'll listen and like, oh my gosh, we, you know. 10 years down the road, you know, and that's there. They get something cool like that. They remember.
Maybe they want to collect on their award.
Ooh, we got to get into production. We got to start production now, because guess what? I ain't got crap. Ooh, I need it. First of all, the first thing I will do is Google, what does a bone saw actually look like? and so, there you go. I mean, and like, we'll probably get, because I know the newer ones have like, they kind of look like a flashlight, except for at the end, they have a little like circly saw.
Right, right.
But I want like the old kind, you know, like maybe, I don't know, maybe it looked like an egg beater, like an old egg beater or something like that. I don't know, but I want to do an old creepy one, right?
So right, like, okay, all right.
So it's like, I swear, we start the podcast. And I could count it. We start the podcast recording and my dad calls.
Every time.
Every he knows. Single he episode. Knows. It's like, Dad, text me, please. And I mean, I love my dad and everything. But
right.
It's like,
he doesn't call you all week long.
Dude.
We start doing
no.
The
oh, no.
Podcast.
He called. No, listen to this, though. Listen all to right. this, though. So we went shopping.
Yeah.
And, well, Cassidy went shopping. And she's like, I'm home. So I went out to bring in the things. Right. So I'm bringing in all the groceries, and I see my watch and my dad's calling. I'm like, okay, so he did. And he calls right back, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, it must be super important.
Right.
So I got to pick it up. So I put it down. I'm like, hey, Dad, what's up? He goes, did you know that on Indiana State, they have a big tubby guy? I'm like, wait, you literally double called me to tell me that they have a doughboy on Indiana State that's really good at basketball? I'm like, Dad, you double called me for this. I thought it was going to be an emergency. He's like, I've never said it was. I go, I know, but you double called me.
Yeah. See, that's the great thing about having like adult kids that move out and they have their own life, their own place, you know, is that I love to call my kid at like late at night and, you know, just like, yeah, what's up? You know, I know that he thinks it's an emergency.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, Dad, what's up? And I wake him up and I'm like, hey, what's going on?
Bro, I would punch you right in the face. I swear to you, like clockwork, he'll call like when we're recording.
What are you doing?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, shoot, my dad's like the best guy on the planet. He just has really terrible, like, why don't you text? Why don't you know? He's just an older guy.
He's old school, man.
Yeah, I know,
old
and school. I get it. I understand that.
Yeah.
But bro, double call me to tell me that Indiana State has kind of a tubby like, guy who's really good at basketball on their team? Okay.
I didn't even call for that. What are you doing? Wild.
Yeah, no, at least he had something to talk about. All right, man. Okay, that's all I got. Unless you said anything else, let's get into it. What do you think? All
right, let's do it.
All right. So, having been a horror fan, here's I wrote down a little intro.
Oh.
So yeah, let me just read this real quick.
All right, all right.
And just kind of maybe.
Is this to make up for last time?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. Oh, last time. Oh yeah, the elevator horror.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what? Yeah, that was a wild topic. Anyway. Steven, of course, was his all baked. Bro, I got a great idea.
The best ideas ever.
Are you talking about elevated horror? No, I mean like...
Elevators.
Elevator horror, it's scary stuff. And those things you get in and go up and down in a building, man.
Dude, you have to admit the lift was awesome.
Listen, I know the lift was great. The other one was I didn't care for as much.
Right,
but
right.
No, the lift was perfect. And I'm glad we got to see Dick Moss. But... Dick Moss. we're gonna make that joke two episodes in a row.
It never is not funny.
No, it always is. Yeah, exactly. So having been a horror fan for most of my life and having seen hundreds of movies dealing with voodoo, a discussion in these movies that often comes up is voodoo versus hoodoo, right? Are you with me?
Okay. The voodoo, hoodoo?
Yeah, you the, do what?
You do, who, what? Yeah. Remind me of the babe.
For one reason or another, these discussions have given me the interpretation or the impression that voodoo is more of a religion and hoodoo is more of folk magic, like evil. It's like the evil stuff, right?
Mm. You know?
But no, but this is, I'm not saying that's what it is.
Okay.
I'm saying that's been my perspective, my perception of it. Well, I learned doing some research for this episode that I have no idea what either really is. So I'm not going to sit here and explain what these are in depth because I'm definitely not an expert. And, you know, I'm kind of lazy and I don't want to do like a discourse about voodoo and hoodoo, the difference. And so I'm not going to do that because, yeah, we're
right.
This is the corpse cast is, you know, okay. This is not like your folk horror 101.
Mike is saying we don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't. I feel like I care enough to help me enjoy
just
these
enough,
movies.
But, just enough.
But it's like doing just enough to get by.
And
then,
any practitioners of voodoo and or hoodoo.
Yeah, they may.
We respect your life choices.
And don't take this as disrespect.
That's right. No disrespect.
Here's the high level take. Voodoo is a religion, and it has what most religions have. You know, like rituals and this and that and belief stuff like that. And unlike many religions, though, they don't have some kind of central authority, right? Like the Pope or you know something like that.
Right. Right.
It's just kind of a you know. And so I assume that it's kind of different depending on the spot you're in
region.
Or where it comes from. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Like I said, they have rituals. They have beliefs. Hoodoo, on the other hand, is the magic parts, the craft, the practice. So hoodoo isn't inherently evil, but I swear in movies they're like, oh, no, that's hoodoo, and that's the bad stuff. And
right,
like,
right.
And I mean, maybe just me. Call it in 385-351-9273. Is that anybody else, or is that just my perception of it? Because I, you know, cool.
I always thought that voodoo was more focused on one thing, like African, you know, kind of.
Well, it also was in Haiti, but came from Africa and all. So, but
yeah, like, when hoodoo is elements of other things, maybe Native Indigenous American and Christian and also
African. Well,
yeah,
African, I mean, voodoo,
you know,
voodoo has Catholicism in it, too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's cool to see, like, the different trappings, like the accoutrements of the religion because you have these weird, cool, like you know, circles and chicken heads and stuff like that.
They
do have
like
a saint candle.
So
you know, and it's really interesting.
So before we get started, you mentioned Serpent the Rainbow. Would you say that's like your favorite of the voodoo genre? Which
I would
is a
say
great
yes.
movie. Which
I would
movie.
Say it's right. probably my favorite.
Okay.
I think that it just gives a, I mean, it's based off a real book
by
a real guy.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you're watching that and Bill Pullman does a great job.
He does.
And I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, Angel Heart.
That's a good one. It's definitely a good one.
Mickey Rourke is absolutely outstanding. And, you know, Robert De Niro, which I don't think they ever really give enough.
De Niro's fine.
You know, well, I could have more.
Do you know what's funny? Is
always more De Niro.
De Niro played the devil in Angel Heart, right?
Louis Cipher.
Mm-hmm. And Al Pacino played the devil in Devil's Advocate.
Right.
So they both played the devil and they both played Corleones. Just saying.
Yeah. But Angel Heart to me, I think it's my favorite Mickey Rourke.
So let me just finish off with this, and then we'll go. For the purpose of this episode, we'll be using the terms hoodoo and voodoo interchangeably, I feel like, because I don't know the difference. I mean, if I were to put it into like programming parlance, it'd be like voodoo is the class and hoodoo is the implementation.
So is this your disclaimer of
yes that I don't know what I'm talking about? And because honestly,
don't voodoo or hoodoo our souls.
Yes,
yes.
And so in essence, that's exactly what I'm doing. It's because we have no. Well, I don't know. I can speak for myself. I have no idea what I'm doing. One thing though that's significant for this episode is the concept of a voodoo zombie, because we have those in the second movie coming up.
Right.
It's very different than the undead corpse. You know, searching for brains. These zombies, in some cases, are brought to life. They seem sentient, right? Mm-hmm. Or they seem, you know, a little bit. Like the ones in The Serpent and the Rainbow maybe aren't quite as aware, but they are always at the bidding of a master. I mean, even in White Zombie back in the old one, Bela Lugosi had them carry out his nefarious plans. And it's very, I really dig those, man. I think it's like, and it's funny because if you think about it, zombies to us today are the ones that George Romero kind of, who sort of calling them zombies? I wonder where that came from. I don't have the answer to that, but it's like, this was a zombie. Oh, but this is a zombie, but they're not the same thing. But now they're both zombies, but there's different kinds of zombies. It's weird. I want to figure out who started calling them zombies and why, you know, because it's like
now in the first Night of Living Dead, are they in fact called zombies? I don't think they use the term zombie.
They might not.
Now correct me now, folks, call in, let me in. But I don't think they use the term zombie.
I don't know. Yeah, it's to be honest with you, it's been a long time, and I think you're right though. And it's just, I mean, I don't know, man. But people call them zombies. And
yeah.
So it's changed. But I wonder if it was like that before, or at George Romero, if that was when those kind were invented, when those kind were called zombies. Anyway. All right. So why don't we do this? Like I said, we're going to have some voodoo zombies in our second movie. But first, let's get to the topic by playing a trailer for our first movie, The Skeleton Key, from 2005.
In Terrebonne Parish and the surrounding bayous of Louisiana, there are those who practice little-known rituals of magic and witchcraft, conjure and sacrifice. Some do not believe in their power, but strange, frightening, and unexplained incidents happen there to this day.
Terrible Parish, that's the swamps.
For $1,000 a week, I'll survive.
25 years old. What's wrong with a little change?
Hello?
Take good care of my husband.
Stroke pretty much paralyzed him. I admire you, what you do.
Hi, Ben.
I'll be taking care of you for a while.
Ben, you're hurting me.
There you are. Time for his remedies.
That brick dust, how's it work?
Nobody that means you harm can cross it. You lay a line down. It's how you tell who your enemies are.
That attic is filled with stuff. Recipes, spells.
You don't know what you've seen.
But it can't hurt you if you don't believe.
I suggest you leave that house before you do.
You see him in the mirrors.
Who?
What happened to you? Who are you afraid of? Tell me who you're afraid of.
The ghosts are here now.
Oh, God.
Where are you, Caroline?
It is time, Lord. From the devil's house, take me out of darkness.
I don't believe. I don't. Out of no! I don't believe.
It is time, Lord.
It's real. It's all real.
Out of the
We are back and we're talking about voodoo and hoodoo movies. Right now we're going to be discussing The Skeleton Key from 2005. This IMDb gives it a 6.5. This movie is directed by Ian Softly, which
is a nickname for my weenie. Sorry. I'm sorry, you guys. That just came to me. I don't have that in my notes. I don't know why I just decided to say that. I'm such an idiot. I apologize to everyone.
Starring Kate Hudson.
Yeah, she's not ugly.
Right. Gina Rollins, who is amazing.
Yeah.
John Hurt, who, okay, so first of all, Kate Hudson's got 47 acting credits. Gina Rollins has got 106 acting credits. John Hurt, 215 acting credits. In fact, I read that he has the most kills
or most
death scenes in any other actor.
Well,
you know,
he has the most significant with the one in Alien.
And if you don't, don't know John Hurt, watch Alien.
He reminds me a little bit of Lance Henriksen.
Sure,
where he's in every single kind of movie, right?
Right.
But he'll be in the biggest movies and he'll be in the smallest movies.
Right.
And I love him for that.
So
I just watched Dracula. What was it? Dracula Unbound from 1990, and he was in that. And I'm like, bro.
Yeah, John Hurt.
This is great.
And he was in. Of course he was. Let's see. In The Elephant Man.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he got a nomination for Best Actor. It didn't win that Academy Award, but got nominated for Best Actor. Also in one of my favorite, 1984.
Yep.
Yeah, which I think is a great adaptation.
Which is the first time that I've seen that much bush on one person. My God.
A lot of bush.
Well, just one bush, but there's a lot of it.
A lot of it, yeah. And then, of course, it's got you just can't have a movie in the last 20-something years without having a Sarsgaard in it.
You know, he's a different Sarsgaard.
But still, Sarsgaard.
Yeah, I said yeah.
Just somewhere down the line. Peter Sarsgaard. And then Joy Bryant. Kate Hudson is Caroline Ellis, a nurse that has recently quit her job. She then is hired as a personal caretaker to Ben Devereaux, who is played by John Hurt, who lives in an old plantation home with his wife, Violet, played by Gina Rollins. Now, Gina Rollins has been in a tremendous amazing. The family lawyer, Luke Marshall, played by Peter Skarsgård, convinced Caroline to stay after she wanted to leave due to the creepy nature of the home and Violet. Creepy things going on. Then Caroline finds a secret room in the attic. Secret room full of furniture and other items that had been left behind by the former resident. There she finds spells, hair, bones, and used to practice hoodoo.
Ooh.
Hoodoo. And Violet claims that she's never been in the secret room before. What will Caroline find in the attic room? Will she raise the dead? Mm-hmm. Watch The Skeleton Key and find out.
So, you know, it's interesting because this came out in 2005.
Right.
And before I talk about the movie, I kind of want to set the stage because I saw this in the theater, right?
Oh, okay.
And I remember thinking it was okay. Okay.
Right.
But what we were doing at that time, probably because of the success of movies like The Sixth Sense and The Ring or The Haunting, you know.
28 Days Later.
I'm saying, but everything was just coming out. Like there was so much PG-13 coming out. I mean, at the time, like the 2000s, we had The Others from 2001, What Lies Beneath,
so
2000, Dark Water 2002, It Like It Freaks, Mothman, Signs, They, Darkness Falls, Willard, The Grudge, AVP, Boogeyman, Dark Waters, The Fog, White Noise, among many others.
Wow.
All PG-13, all came out between 2000. I mean, it was throughout the whole thing.
Oh, right.
But there was a huge cycle of that.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's not a trend that I want to come back, but it's not, but I think at the time we were being inundated. Like right now, if we were to get like a PG-13 one, I wouldn't care at all.
Right.
But since everything was coming and like you're reading your Rue Morgue or your Fangoria, it's like everything's why?
Yeah.
You know, this is
now here would be my question is when did PG-13 go into effect?
84.
Was it that long ago?
It was 84 because it was Red Dawn, I believe.
Was it PG-13?
Yeah, Red Dawn was PG-13.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think there was a lot of PG-13s at this time because what was also going on at the same time was like the what do you call that, torture porn movies. Mm. So we had the really gory and the really intense, and then we had the lighter fare, you know?
Right, right.
So they were, I mean, I don't know if it was, if they, there was so much PG-13 to kind of offset
right.
what was going on. We had the new French Extremity going on, which is some wild shit too.
Right.
And it's like, but I just remember there was so much PG-13 going to theaters, and it was like, and at that time, you know, we didn't have streaming. We had Blu-rays and, or sorry, not Blu-rays, but DVDs, and, you know, Netflix back then would send you DVDs and all that stuff. And, you know, we had that, but, you know, I was more apt to go out to the movies at that point because either that, you already had to wait a year, you know, before it, you know, before it came to DVD.
Right.
But so that's where we're sitting in this thing. And so I think that really tainted my, and I haven't seen it since then because it kind of was just like, yeah, this is kind of vanilla type of thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is I'm watching it this time. I loved the main character. I think I didn't like Kate Hudson at the time because I think there were rumors that she was Yoko Ono-ing the Black Crowes. So, and I like the Black Crowes. You know,
I like the Black Crowes.
So it's like, so I'm like, oh, this bitch, man. You know, whether it's true or not. But it's like, I remember that was going around.
I love Kate Hudson, especially she's one of my all-time favorite movies, Almost Famous.
I love
that movie, and she's absolutely great in it.
Uh-huh. I like that she's in her like underwear the whole movie.
Oh yeah, And plus, I'm a huge Goldie Hawn fan.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Kurt
of course.
Russell. You know, yeah. I mean,
is Kurt Russell her dad? I didn't even think about that. How about that?
Right. I think so.
I don't. I mean, I have no idea. I don't know. I would assume so. But they have that other kid too. Interesting.
Right. Right. But okay.
Uh-huh. So well, I was just gonna say I guess I just want to kind of put that's what I thought about it then.
Right.
And as the Monkees said in one of their songs from their album called Pool It that came out in the early 80s, that was then and this is now. Sorry,
yeah, sure,
I just wanted
sure.
to bring in the Monkees that I know the Monkees had a 1980s album called Pool It. Anyways, that hurts my head that I did. Kate Hudson did a great job. No complaints about her performance. John Hurt didn't have a lot to do. You know, he was just kind of in a comatose,
he couldn't speak.
Yeah, he couldn't speak. He just kind of sat there.
Yeah.
All he did a lot with his face. You know, there's one part where he freaked out because there was a mirror and all this other stuff. I mean, he did. It's John Hurt.
And Gina Rollins.
She did great. I loved Peter Skarsgård. He was like the most likable dude. Like on the place, like, oh, why don't you come on over here?
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, he just seems like a cool dude to hang out with, like a nice guy.
Sure.
But Gina Rowland too. I think she was the standout in this movie. She's basically one of the main character. I mean, outside of Kate Hudson, but she's the main other person than the protagonist, and I think she carried this movie because she was hard to read, right?
Yeah.
Is she good? Is she bad? I don't know, because, you know, she just loves her husband, or is she trying to who, you know? So I think this, and it was kind of a mystery, this one. So I liked it, you know?
I
liked it a lot different. A lot more than, I just saw it a lot differently than I saw it the first time. You know, maybe it's because of the context of life today in 2024 versus 2005 and you know, the state of horror or anything like that.
Okay.
What'd you think?
All right. I'm the same, but different.
Okay.
You might hate what I've got to think about, what I think about.
Well, I don't care.
All right. Here we go. I saw it when it came out, and I think I saw it on VHS, if I remember correctly, you know. And I'm, like I said, Kate Hudson's amazing. Everybody does a really great job, and I liked it. Now, I haven't watched it since then.
I don't think, right.
You know, so rewatching it, I didn't like it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I felt like this, like, okay, here we have Kate Hudson, who's Miss White America, like, every day.
Yeah.
You know? And then all of a sudden,
what'd you say?
Miss White America, you know, and then all of a sudden she's like practicing hoodoo. She goes into like one shop.
Well, it's like, it's like the old trope of the white savior.
This is what I'm talking about.
There's so many movies like that, especially back in those where a civilized man goes into the savages.
Right. And the white lady saves the day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Even though Gina Rowland was white. Okay.
No,
but she was very, well, yeah, I get what you're saying. Don't,
Yeah.
But what I'm saying though is, I get it. This person from the civilized city, she's not a country folk and whatever coming in.
I mean,
I get it.
She's a nurse. She gets a job. She doesn't know shit about shit when it comes to hoodoo or voodoo.
She's cool. She's got a black friend.
right. Exactly. So this is like the cultural, taking over, you know, what am I looking
for? Oh, dear, here we go.
I told you, you know, this is gentrification of cultural appropriation. This is what I thought, you know.
Okay.
Because it's been so long since I've seen it, and now it's like, you know, things are a bit different, right? Uh-huh. I felt like the cultural appropriation of the character is just like, really?
I'll tell you why. I absolutely see that.
Yeah.
I absolutely see kind of the latent, you know, kind of undertones of racism.
Totally.
But it's also a voodoo movie that takes place in the South, so it's like you're gonna get that. But I'll tell you why, because I mean, I could see that in the movie, and I thought about that too. But I'm like, but here's why I kind of like brushed it off a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. But here's why it didn't impact me. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So first of all, I'm not a filthy liberal. And I tease. But here's the thing. Okay, so this movie, I thought looked great, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you have the bayou, you have the atmosphere, you have all the trinkets and the spells and all that stuff.
Right.
I liked it. You even had a hanging tree in the backyard,
which is fake.
Yeah, that's all CG. The whole bayou's fake.
It's all fake. Yeah.
But I'm watching that and I'm enjoying it, but it's like, I thought to myself, why am I enjoying this? And I figured it out.
What?
Because you know when you're sitting there and you're just like kind of grumpy and you're driving or something that, and all of a sudden, sundown, you bet it comes on.
It's just kind of
good for yourself. It's not like going to push you the limits, you know. It's just kind of like you feel it. It washes over you. It's comfortable.
Sure.
It's easy to listen to. That's this movie. This is the Gordon Lightfoot of
horror movies.
Yeah, because it's like it just washes over. You're not supposed to take it too, you know, you're not supposed to think about it too much. It's not, I mean, you could say it's controversial, but to me it's just like, it's just, you know, look at it. There's a pretty white girl. But she's pretty and there's a John, whatever, and they're not going to push any limits. They're not going to make you think too hard. I mean, let's be real. It's kind of like a paint by numbers type of story. I mean, it's a mystery, and I thought it was great.
Yeah. Now, here's my thing. I felt like I love the sum of the parts.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I love Kate Hudson. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. Even the movie she did with Matthew McConaughey and the date movie. And, you know, I love that movie. I got a soft spot for that shit.
Okay.
Yeah, right? And John Hurt, are you kidding
me?
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
exactly.
Oh, my God. The guys, you know, and Gina Rowland, amazing. Back from the 50s and 60s, she was in Alfred Hitchcock Presents and shit. You know, incredible career. And she's great in the movie.
Yeah, she is.
But there's just something about it that I'm just kind of like, I felt like it kind of came up flat this time.
I do think it's because like it's PG-13.
If you're
going to make a PG-13 horror movie, you know, you expect people not just big. And this is what always bothered me about that, right? Because I think they were making horror for, like, I mean, there's exceptions. Like The Ring was like, I feel like, oh, that was scary as shit, right?
No, dude.
But a lot of that horror, like the remake of The Fog, a lot of those remakes, stuff like that, were just made for the public at large. And the thing is, I think the public at large aren't, like, they still think that horror is like the redheaded stepchild of film, you know, and they still do to this day.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
I
like horror being.
No, but me too. Know, yeah. But what I'm saying is you come out PG-13, you make it this nice, easy listening, quote unquote, you know, type of thing.
I hear you. I see what you're saying.
So they're not going to, they're, you know, it's like, these themes have been used over and over and over. And it's like, people are used to it. People can, you know, can just like, oh yeah, yeah, white girl that doesn't know anything is going to come in and save the day, you know,
type of thing.
I mean, like I said, that's a trope that's in like not horror movies. I mean, yes, horror movies, but also like in regular, dramas and this and that. And it's just like, so I think it's just like, it was comfortable. It was very milquetoast, you know?
Right.
And you're not going to get acid indigestion, you know? You're going to feel full and be, you know.
See, like, now I would think it would be interesting if like, Key, what's his name from Key and Peele?
Jordan Peele.
Yeah, Jordan Peele. Yeah.
Did you just call him Key?
Yeah.
Why do they look the same?
No.
Why?
No,
why?
No,
why
no.
Why are you
I'm bad with names. Anyway, like if he did, well, you know, he did Get Out and Nope, right? If he were to take this script on and like do it, I'd be curious to see what he would do with it now.
I think that this would be like a perfect thing, a voodoo. I think a perfect subject for him because, I mean, look at what he's done now. There's a lot of like, race dynamics and power dynamics in all of it, you know, all of his stuff. And I like it a lot. I mean, it's like,
I love his stuff.
It's like, yeah, I do too. And plus he's really, I think he's hilarious. And I still watch Key and Peele skits all the time.
Yeah.
But you're right. The guy who wrote it is actually, what's his name? Let me go back up. Is Aaron Kruger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a lot of stuff too. I mean, he did, but he's done a lot of big stuff that had to, you know, kind of like the Brothers Grimm.
Oh, okay. You
know, well, he did Scream Which, 3.
The one with the
Joker.
Okay.
And Top Gun Maverick, which I really like. But the thing is, so he's a big Hollywood guy.
Okay. You know? All right.
And
all
so
right.
It's like, so he, I think, so, you know, he's not like Ari Aster coming out and writing
right.
what's wrong with the Jeffersons or whatever that one's called, you know?
Yeah, there's some of the photography, the photography in the movie, there's some shots that are just really
awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think, probably one of the most famous is with Kate Hudson when she opens up the drawer, you know, and finds it. It's like, because you always see that like snippets. It's like, oh, what is that from? And when I saw it, when I watched it, I'm like, oh, shit, that's where that's from. Cool, you know, huh? Yeah, like, I totally forgot. But I don't know.
Like I said, yeah. I mean, if you're, let's say you're, you know, you're just not feeling up to it very good and you want your chicken soup and your saltine crackers. That's this movie.
You know? Yeah, I hear you.
And it's okay. I like it. It's decent.
I just wanted to watch Angel Heart.
Why didn't you push for it then?
Because we've already done it.
I think you're right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I mean, it was good. It's good to watch it. And like, you know, definitely because we don't do a whole lot of these type of movies.
No, we can.
You know, I mean, you know, like you're talking the PG-13 big Hollywood budget, you know. So it was interesting to watch because we've been watching so many.
Put this movie up to like The Boxer's Omen and just look at they're both horror movies, one is like, what the holy crap, you
right,
know?
Right, sure.
And this one's like, aw, she's such a cutie.
It's easily digestible.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's what I got.
Yeah, cool. That's all I got too. So let's go ahead and play a trailer for, it's funny because Sugar Hill is PG. And so we'll play a trailer for that and be right back.
Blood is red. Voodoo is blue. Sugar is sweet. Revenge is sweeter.
I'm passing seconds.
Meet Sugar Hill.
No, please.
Not a place. But a brand new face.
My friends call me Sugar.
The foxiest.
Looking for anything special?
Sexiest. Deadliest chick in town. The mob took Sugar's man away. And now she's gonna make them pay.
I want them dead.
With a voodoo priestess called Mama Matrace.
I know what you can do. The power you possess.
How strong is your hate?
And Baron Samedi, too.
My particular special. A drink that I'm famous for. The zombie.
This is my domain! A kingdom of the dead!
And an army of undead behind her.
Each death has had something to do with voodoo ritual.
There's nothing that Sugar can't do.
Use it.
The mob has never seen anything like Sugar Hill and her zombie hitmen.
All right, we're back, and you just heard a trailer for Sugar Hill, which is a 1993 movie.
74.
Starring Blade about a drug trade. Just kidding. There's another movie called 19 from 1993 called Sugar Hill. And when I was like finding stuff about this, I kept running into that.
Oh, right.
Wesley Pipes is in it.
Well, remember there was the Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh yeah, the old band. Yeah,
yeah,
the
yeah,
old,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hip hop.
Yeah,
yeah, that's cool. Anyway, so 1974, IMDb gets this a 5.8. It was directed by Paul Maslansky. This is his only directing credit on IMDb. It was written by a guy named Tim Kelly with a little help from a guy named Don Pedro Colley, who's the dude who played Baram Samdi in this. Tim Kelly has 8 writing credits on IMDb. I don't know anything that he's done, but he's done a lot of 70s TV and movies. His last credit was in 1975. He did, actually, I take it back. He did write one of Edgar Allan Poe's Cry of the Banshee from 1970 with Vincent Price in him. I haven't seen that. If I've seen it, it's been a long time. Like a lot of those like 70s things kind of, I mean, I don't know why I don't visit them often. Maybe I should, but it's like there's always so much stuff to watch, you know?
Right.
So
oh,
it's
yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Anyways, this starred Marky Bay as Diana Sugar Hill. Robert Corey as Morgan. Don Pedro Colley as Baram Samdi, which is the best guy. He played the role that was perfect for him. He ended up actually being in The Dukes of Hazzard, and I don't know what he played in The Dukes of Hazzard. I never really watched that show growing up.
I did. So, he was in Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah. He was just a regular old bald guy. So,
huh? Okay.
But I saw that when I was looking. But I'm like, oh, maybe I should get into this and figure out. And I'm like, why? I know there's Bowen Luke Duke and then Daisy Duke, and that's it. I know there's some old guy, but I'm like, do I know that because of the new movie with Stifler and?
Well, then there's like the sheriff and.
Oh yeah, P. Coltrane.
Yeah,
Roscoe
P. Coltrane, yeah. And then there's.
Boss Hogg.
Yeah, Boss Hogg.
Now it's all coming back to me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've watched that too much, so I don't know exactly what part he was. So I have no idea. Anyways, this starred Betty Ann at Reese as Celeste, Richard Lawson as Valentine, Zara Cooley as a Mama Matrice, and a bunch of other people, henchmen and zombies and a uniformed cop.
There you go.
So, okay, let's go over the plot. Diana Sugar Hill is a fashion photographer in Houston. This took place in Houston, which I didn't know till after. And it's like,
okay,
it doesn't really seem
but
like
Houston's right down there. You know, it's
did you call it Houston?
No, Houston.
Do you know who else calls it Houston?
Who?
Zod. Am I on the planet Houston?
Oh, I am Zod.
Yes.
Yeah.
I win. Yeah. I always win. Anyway.
Okay.
Her boyfriend, Langston, owns a voodoo-themed club downtown. This place is hip and happening. I say that because this totally has like the hippest, coolest, jivinest. I don't know. Like it's a wild thing. I don't know how to talk. Like I was in the '70s. It's far out, man. You know, I don't know, but it's like, it was very funky, you know? And
oh yeah.
They did like voodoo dancing for entertainment.
Right.
And all this other stuff.
Kind of like in Hawaii when you go see the
Samoan, like
the Hawaiian.
What's that called? The LDS Church has the Polynesian Cultural Center.
Right.
Yeah.
But for voodoo.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, come to think about it, that's way different than
it's a lot different
than the Polynesian Cultural Center. Anyhow, so, but this place is hip and happening so much so that a local organized crime boss, Morgan, wants to purchase it. And he wants to lowball Langdon. Well, Langdon doesn't want to sell the place. So Morgan sends his heavies in to persuade him.
No. Okay.
The problem is that they work Langston a little too hard and kill him. The club is left to Sugar, and Morgan has set his sights on her to persuade her to let him buy the club off her. She keeps him on the line, you know, saying, "Oh, maybe we'll talk about it. You know, we'll see. It goes. We'll just make the. We'll see. We'll figure out. Make the right decision. Stuff like that." But all the whole while, she's planning her revenge. And where does that revenge take her? She finds an old lady named. I said something so mean. I was like, this lady, Mama Matrice, you remember Matt at Arms?
Oh, yeah.
Her hair looked like his helmet.
Oh, my God.
She's an old voodoo practitioner, Mama Matrice, and she points Sugar in the direction of Baron Samdi, the voodoo lord of the dead. With Baron Samdi and his undead legions, like 15 zombies or something like that, they enact their revenge on Morgan and his men. Will Sugar be successful in her mission for revenge on Morgan and his men? Will she ever have remorse if she is successful? I just messed up. Have you ever wondered what it would look like if an old lady had a haircut that looked like Man at Arms helmet? Sorry, my bad. Find out by watching Sugar Hill from 1974. What you got?
I love this movie.
I did. It was great.
Now, I'm going to admit to you, I fell asleep. I tried to watch it a couple times, and I was just tired. I wasn't sleeping so well. I didn't have a couple. And so I put it on, and it's not the, like, boomiest, you know, pacing, you know. And I kind of fell asleep a couple times.
I'll tell you what. Every time they drop the N-word, I'll be like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
It shocked me back awake. So it's like.
But I, Sugar Hill, the actress that played Sugar Hill. Wow.
Yeah, she's
stunning.
Yeah, cool.
Stunning. Kind of reminded me of Pam Grier.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Foxy Brown. You know,
she
awesome.
Didn't do a lot of stuff. Actually,
no.
You know?
Oh,
so
just
it's like,
absolutely.
It's weird.
And she's great, you know. The bad guys were the perfect, like, bad guys, you know, of the 70s.
Yeah.
What you want, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the costumes were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love the zombies.
The zombies
are incredible.
Chef's kiss.
They're yeah. Eyes.
You know what the only thing is like, I wonder, because their eyes, they had the silver dome around them, right?
Right, right.
The only problem is you could see the seams a little bit, but what you have to understand
sure.
is when this was filmed in the 70s, no way you're seeing those seams because you,
right,
you don't
right,
have
sure,
it in HD.
Sure.
You know, so it's like, so I bet you that look, you know, with the cobwebs
yeah,
and the
yeah,
dirt
yeah.
and all that stuff, it's like,
yeah.
I bet you they were scary. Yeah, but they were scary.
They,
but I mean,
oh, yeah, with all the cobwebs all over yeah. them. And it's kind of funny watching it. You know, you see the makeup of the on their bodies over, like, you know, kind of make it look like
six
skeleton.
Pack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah,
the skin.
Yeah. And
I always laughed. I go, that's what I'm going to do. That's the only way I'm getting a six pack, babe.
I watched it like three times
yeah.
before being able to get through the whole thing. Not because it was bad. I just.
Oh, no, you know, we get yeah. We old men. They understand.
Yeah. I love the bar that she's hanging
yep.
out at, you know, and it is, and the main bad guy is such an asshole.
It,
the way that he treats his girlfriend, I don't remember asking you, you
yeah,
know.
And it's like, and I'm watching that going.
Every time he talks to her, you know what, I look at you, I look at nothing.
It's funny because, like, there was a lot of things in this movie that just were, they were just comical
rough.
Because you can't say like yeah. she goes, oh, you crack up, and I'm just
oh,
like,
I know,
like, that is hilarious, you know?
Oh, some of the, you know, it's
you, I hope they like white trash.
Yeah,
like,
I was just gonna say that when they take him to that one guy to the pigs and push him, I hope they like white trash.
Right.
I died.
That was so funny.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
But every time he would talk to her, Robert Quarry actually played Count Yorba, the vampire, in parts 1 and 2. So I, like,
okay,
I was like,
okay.
The whole time I'm like, where do I recognize him from? And I went and I looked
right.
it up on my phone. I'm
now,
like,
is it just me, or did I thought I felt like Baron Samedi reminded me of Coffin Joe a
oh,
little?
Oh my gosh. I have it right here.
Oh, you've got it. You've got yes. it. You see, we're on the same. We're on the
yeah,
same.
He
vein
looked because he was loud and he had that laugh. And
right,
he had the,
right.
The top hat doesn't help.
Right.
The only difference is Coffin Joe's like 5'1".
Right. Yeah. yeah. But there was the same type
yeah.
of
the main.
You know,
oh, it's right here. It's like, was it me? It's just me, or does Baron Samedi awesome? He stole the show as a voodoo prince. He reminded
right.
me a lot of a bigger Coffin Joe, top hat, man, collaborator, all done up to look very voodoo-y. But yeah.
Right. Right. So I would. I would. What does IMDb give?
It's
a
got
5,
a 5.8. Yeah. In the first,
know.
The skeleton, he got a 6.5.
You see, I would almost switch it, to be honest.
Well,
with,
say,
you know?
Well, I would too, to be honest. But the thing, but here's the thing, though. You have to understand.
Yeah.
Like, I know that a lot of people who are seeking these movies out and watching them are horror fans, right?
Right, right.
But it's like, I think that this suffers. It doesn't suffer to me, but I think it suffers. Okay, are you very up to date, or have seen a bunch of the black exploitation stuff like
right,
that?
Right.
Because this was very. I mean, this had a lot of the same tropes as that. There was a few, like, horror, and it was AIP. AIP did this. So Roger Corman, who, by the way, turned 98 today.
Oh, hey.
98.
Wow.
He was, like, he still was kicking last October and all that
right.
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so I mean, you have Blackula, and Blackula
mm-hmm.
Bites Again. I can't
mm-hmm.
remember what was the second one. Blackula, and then you have Blackenstein. But I think they're all AIP.
Right,
like, so,
right.
But there was a ton of, I mean, you got your coffee, you got Boss N-word, you got like
Shaft.
All this other, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like they had a lot of those same things, which are fun, which are just fun, cool, you know, like hip, I guess,
right.
from back in the day. But it's like, so this had a lot of that. And but I wonder if that, I mean, that's not necessarily a genre that the mainstream searches out. You
sure,
know?
Sure.
So.
And, you know, I got to be, got to go into it understanding that the language is not.
It's not going to be PG. It's not going to be PG now.
No. It definitely, for a time of, you know, because there, you know, there's a lot of racial
yeah.
slurs going on in this, you know. But when they get in the fight, you know, yeah.
When the girlfriend said, I was like, oh my.
Yeah.
Wow, my ears are burning.
When she goes to the bar and yes. they get, I was like, yeah, chick fight. You know, like,
hello.
But no, man, Sugar Hill, she is so awesome. Yeah. I wish they took that character yeah. and did more.
I don't know what happened to her because I looked and she didn't do a ton of other stuff. And let's put it this way. I think this was a kind of a style type of thing.
Yeah.
Because the awesome look of Baron Samedi, the awesome look of the zombies, mm-hmm. The dress and the settings in that club and all this stuff, right?
Right.
Because if you think about it, this is just basically a run of the mill. Hey, you know, like all the bad guys line them up and knock them down type of thing, right? But the thing is that's what it was. But I think that I think that just everything else made what like rose above maybe in the way they interacted and all that stuff made it rise above the simplistic storyline. There's one thing that I have to admit, I've seen this before, but I don't remember the ending. I remember I just watched, well, I didn't watch, just watch it, but I think about Pumpkinhead, right? Where Ed Harley, this is a spoiler if you haven't seen Pumpkinhead, Ed Harley like gets his revenge, right?
Yeah.
But at what cost? You know, it took his soul you know, and he was turning, but at the end of this one, they was like, nope. Nope,
right,
everything's happy. But, I mean, there's a huge difference in between what's going on. I mean, these guys were racist, murderer.
So
at the end, I kind of was waiting for another thing, but then nothing. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, I guess it makes sense.
It was kind of set up for like a part two, you know? I mean, really, they could have done something with it.
That would have been great because, yeah, like this is 1974.
Sugar Hill Rides
this
Again
is
or something.
50 years old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy
now,
crap, bro.
So... is the editing all kind of like the continuity of the editing kind of jacked up? Yes.
Sure.
Oh. You know, are you kind of like going left going like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. Yes. But go into it knowing that. I think it's awesome. I love this movie. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
And there's one thing I dare you. I defy you to watch this movie and not walk away singing Supernatural Voodoo.
Oh, the originals.
Woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Supernatural Voodoo Woman.
That was great.
So good, dude. But I think it was so interesting how the difference, the contrast between Skeleton Key and Sugar Hill.
Well, like I said, they were two very different movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, both about voodoo. And I mean, it's not shocking, but it's, you know, because different artists are.
Right.
But I think also there's a lot of studio stuff for the, you know, for the Skeleton Key. So it makes sense, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, there were a lot of the same types of things. There were a lot of the same, like, things that were referenced and you know, the look and feel of, like, the voodoo room and then what she was dealing with, like, really similar. And it was like, oh, this is – I like this subject.
Yeah.
I think that it's something that I wouldn't mind, you know, checking out a little bit deeper, you know, on my own because we are not doing voodoo twice in a row. But, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So I really enjoyed that, man. I enjoyed both movies. But the thing is if I had to pick one and to show my friends and to tell them to watch it, it's Sugar Hill.
Sugar Hill.
Setting this podcast out to the whole world, and I just said how much I enjoyed the Skeleton Key, but it's like, you kind of keep those, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of like when you're saying, oh, by the way, I really like a band called Satyricon. You know what? My favorite song is King. And you just wait for the hate to come, you know? And it's like, yeah, so that's kind of...
Sugar Hill, I could definitely, you know, see being played at an art theater, I don't know if a younger audience would be into it or not.
I think,
do you think it would be,
well,
like,
he,
is
well,
it too over the
thing,
top?
Here's the thing. We are in a time right now where... so many things are available to us.
Right.
Remember back in the old days, man, we had to find a VHS tape
or even
in the DVD days, it was difficult. Now there's so much stuff that is available that it makes it easier to become a genre fan. Right.
Right. Right.
So it's like, I think that like young people are even getting into it more, especially when you think you have like companies like Synapse and Severin and Vinegar Syndrome and Indicator and Shout Factory, Scream Factory, all that stuff. They're seeking out these movies and they're restoring them and bringing them back.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
so
I think that that's leading to a lot of younger people and maybe people who otherwise, you know, wouldn't have really gotten into it if they weren't, you know, more available. Like I remember it used to be hard to find movies, you know? And the thing is, it's like, some people are like, I loved it. You had to track it down. I was like, bullshit, man. I just want to watch a movie. I ain't trying to, because half the time, oh my gosh, this movie. Ooh, I hear it's so good. I want to watch it. And you search it down and you drive around to different stores or, you know, and all this stuff. And you watch it, you're like, man, that was a load of shit, you know? And so it's
I still spend, I used to go to the video store and spend more time trying to find what I want to watch than actually watching it.
You still do that now, I'm sure.
On Prime, on Hulu, on Netflix, you know, it's like, what do I want? No.
I think that's a con because I do that. Like there's been a couple times where I've been searching and, you know, 20 minutes happens and I'm like, man, I'm tired. I'm just going to bed.
Definitely. Oh, what do I want to do tonight? I want to look for something I want to watch and not watch it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's all we got. You have anything else to add or any more wisdom to impart upon the listeners?
No.
Go ahead and give us a call for any kind of feedback if you'd like, 385-351-9273. Or also, if you would like to, send in a little bone saw award.
Oh.
Yeah, so send that in, too, if you would like. I know nobody's going to do it because you guys are all punks, but maybe I'll.
And is this a challenge, Mike?
It actually takes, so I'm going to shame them.
Are you going to throw down the gauntlet?
Not easy to just be like, hey, I need you to do 20, 30 minutes of work, finding somebody and then come up with something to say and then recording it and then sitting. Shit, nobody's going to do that, but it's out there. You can email it to me at mike@cadaverlab.com. Like I say, call it in 385-351. Share it with your friends. Go to corpsecollective.com. Check out the stuff that we got going on there. Like I said, just put a titty movie on there. But I guess that's all I got. So for the Corpse Cast, we'll catch you guys later.
Bye.